We're going to learn a Maimar of the Rebbe. The truth is, this Maimar is from the same year of the previous one that we learned, Tavshin Chovav, 1965. And this Maimar actually starts with the same words of the previous one. Hallelujah, Hashem Kol Goyim. All the nations should praise God. What happens over here? The Rebbe said one discourse on Sukkos. I think it was the second day of Sukkos. And then he said another discourse on Simchas Torah, like a few days later. Simchas Torah. And both discourses start with exactly the same verse. And the truth is, both discourses have exactly the same nekuda. The idea, the point of them is the same. However, the second one is much, not so long anyway, but longer, and is much more structured and explained. Like, really easy to understand, really straightforward, so to speak. But learning the first one that we learned before gives a much deeper understanding of this one. Even though this one is easy to understand in itself, but having learned the first one gives you a really easier time on this one. And you see the changes and you see, I got it. The Rebbe is saying this and that. And the truth is, by the end of the discourse, the Rebbe brings a very interesting idea that is also mentioned in other discourses, and not like this one is not the novelty, etc., etc. But usually, I'm starting from the end. I know it should be more orderly, but I think it's interesting, having learned the previous discourse, it's interesting to see how the Rebbe focus on this one, but it's going to appear at the end. And the idea is like this. Usually, we say Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah, the end of the holidays of Tishrei, are for Jews, just for Jews. And it's mentioned in many places. And actually, the next discourse we're going to learn talks about it at length. It's very interesting. But usually we say it's just for Jews, no connection to no Jews. During Sukkot, we brought in the temple, the times of the temple, 70 bulls for the 70 nations. But Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, one bull, just for the Jewish people, forget about the nations, I don't care. But the Rebbe brings in the discourse that also has an influence on the non-Jews. It also has some connection to non-Jews. It's not so straightforward. No, nothing to do with Jews, with non-Jews, I'm sorry. It also has a connection to non-Jews. So let's start. This, again, 1965, Simchas Torah. You can imagine the Hasidim hearing this discourse for the first time. They were like, wait a second, we just a few days before, you just said the same thing. So the Rebbe is going to lead us into new ideas, into better explanation of the same ideas. Hallelujah, Hashem Kol Goyim, Shavuchu Kol Ha'umim, Ki Govar Aleinu Chasdei. Two verses in Psalm 117, it says like this: praise God, all the nations. Praise again, hallelujah, and shabchu, whatever. Praise all the nations, because it's very strong upon us, His, God's, kindness, and the truth of God goes to the world. Emes Hashem Leil. Tzarich lehovim, we have to understand, maya shaychus de govar oleinu chasdoi, lehallelu Hashem kol goyim. See, the Rebbe stresses two words. What's the connection that the kindness of God is so strong upon us, the Jews? What's the connection from that into that all the nations should praise God? What do you mean? We should praise God because God is good with us. And the nations? I don't know about the nations. No. Because God is good with us, the nations should praise God. Two explanations. Both by the explanation that says that because it's strong upon us, His kindness, it's a reason why should the nations praise God? Because God is good with the Jewish people, therefore should the nations praise God. According to that explanation, we have to understand what's the connection. And hen le'apeirush b'kseh afachi. Also, if you take a completely different explanation of this verse, hallelujah, Hashem kol goyim, should praise, all the nations should praise God, ve'al yedei zeh, and through the nations praising God, gover aleinu chasdei, the kindness of God is strong upon us. In both cases, we have to understand what's the connection between non-Jews praising God and the kindness of God with the Jews. It doesn't really matter what comes first. Like, kindness of God into the Jews, nations praise. Why? Or take it the other way. Nations praise God, therefore there's a kindness of God to the Jews. Why? What's the connection? Nekuda sabir baze. The main point of the explanation is like this. This whole idea of non-Jews praising God, that happens in Sukkos. Sheboy makrivim shivim parim. Why Sukkos? What's the connection between non-Jews and Sukkos? Sheboy makrivim shivim parim keneged shivim mumos. Because the Talmud says that in the Sukkos we used to bring 70 bulls in the temple, etc., etc., on behalf of the 70 nations of the world. And because of that, praise, again, mehalelim, meshavchim, is basically the same idea. The Rebbe is going to explain the difference later, but basically the same idea. I don't have a different word, I'm sorry. Mehalelim, meshavchim, to God, all the nations. And again, goyim and leumim is basically the same also, all the nations. What's the reason for that? This is the first explanation that Rebbe brought. Lefi, because govar aleinu chastoi be'ayam shelivnei chag ha'sukkos, because the kindness of God is so strong upon us, the Jews, before Sukkos. So what's the order over here? God is good with the Jewish people, therefore the non-Jews praise God. When was God good with the Jewish people before Sukkos? I mean, in time now. God is good with the Jews. We don't know when. He's going to say in a minute. We don't know when. And therefore, in Sukkos, the non-Jews praise God. So when was God good with the Jews? Before Yom Kippurim. In Yom Kippur, which comes before Sukkos. Yom Kippur is the 10th of the month. Sukkos is the 15th of the month, Tishrei. What happened in Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement? Sheboy Nisrat Zakash Baruch Hu Yisrael. In that time, God appeased the Jewish people. By saying, so to speak, I will forgive just as you requested me. This is the conversation between God and Moshe Rabbeinu before Yom Kippur, so to speak, after the Jewish people did the golden calf, etc. So Moshe Rabbeinu asked forgiveness, and God said, Salachti gidvarech, I forgave just as you asked me. That happens in Yom Kippur. The Dav Kaliacharikan, precisely after that, the Jewish people can actually work on the refinement of the non-Jews, goyim, leumim, whatever, again, the nations, through offering 70 bulls on behalf of the 70 nations, to the point that those offerings generated that the non-Jews would praise God. Okay, that's the first explanation. So God is good with the Jewish people in Yom Kippur, and that generates that the Jewish people can work with the 70 nations, elevate them, refinement, whatever that means. We don't know, it's going to explain later, whatever that means. And that generates that refinement of the Jews on the non-Jews generates that the non-Jews praise God. Ve'oid pirush bazeh, another explanation. Leidach gisa, really the other way around. After, so what comes first? Non-Jews praising God for whatever reason. We don't know why, but they chose to praise God. So by them praising God, why? Why would they praise God? Because the Jews offered 70 bulls in the temple in Sukkos. So in time, first comes Sukkos. 70 bulls, everybody, all the non-Jews are praising God, and afterwards in time, al yedei zeh, through that praise of the non-Jews of God, etc., etc., nase b'shmini atzeres, v'simchas Torah, hine degavar aleinu chastei. Therefore, after Sukkos, in shmini atzeres, which is the 22nd and 23rd simchas Torah of Tishrei, that generates a kindness of God upon the Jews. So first comes the praise of the non-Jews, Why would they praise? Because we offered 70 bulls, sukkos, and then comes the goodness of God, the kindness of God, on the Jewish people. Dehainu, that means, is gabrus ha-chesed livene Israel davka. That means there's a strong kindness of God for the Jews specifically. Shezehu shemakrivim b'shmini atzeret par echod ailechot. That's why we bring we used to bring in the times of the temple, one bull in Shemini Atzeres, I'm sorry, in the temple, one bull, one ram, keneged uma yechida. And that's on behalf of the one nation, so to speak, unique nation of the Jewish people. Be'oifen the Israel malka v'lchoidoi, like the Zayar says, in a way that the Jewish people and the king, that means God, they're alone, together alone, nobody else in the middle. Okay, this is the second explanation. And that's the line that I was saying before in the introduction, very important line that Rebbe is going to explain a little bit later. Also, don't think we stop over here. No. This issue of God being good with the Jewish people because we refine the non-Jews, etc., that's projected also in the world afterwards. That's why the verse finishes saying the truth of God should go to the world. That means everybody benefits from the fact that God is being kind with the Jewish people. So what's the order? Non-Jews praise God, Jews benefit from the kindness of God, and therefore everybody, Jews and non-Jews, benefit from the truth of God into the world. Says the Rebbe in Yiddish, that the whole world becomes imbued, so to speak, with this thing of the truth of God. The fact that there's nothing else besides God. Everybody starts understanding and living and really benefiting from this truth of God that goes to the world. That's the explanation. This is the second chapter explaining the very short first chapter, saying, look, there are two explanations on how you see this structure. Who praises first and why? Okay, so we got the two explanations. That's Nikuda Sabiur. That's the point of the explanation. Now, chapter 3, Biur Ainyan. Now, let's explain this. Before I just told you like the title, this is the title, this is what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to explain it now. Throughout the 7 days of Sukkos, of the holiday of Sukkos, there's a refinement of the 70 nations through offering 70 bulls. That means, we call it a refinement of the 70 nations through a sacrifice. Why not in a different way? Go talk to them or whatever. No, sacrifice, that means a refinement of the nations. Why? Because in general, the idea of a korban, of an offering, is that you offer on top of the altar. Actually, makriv means to offer, but means like to burn. We used to burn on top of the altar. It's a chayle ve'adam. The fats and the blood. Bedugmas be'avodas Adam, what does that mean in our service to God? Like, we don't have a temple anymore, let it be revealed quickly, speedily, whatever, blah, 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 but we don't have it today. So how do you apply this today? In avodas Adam, in the service of men to God, she'achelev u'inyan ha'tainuk. Fat represents pleasure. Ve'adam u'inyan ha'chayus. And blood represents livelihood. So we have two things, so to speak, on us, inside of us. Where is your pleasure? What do you really think something is pleasurable? What do you really think? God, learning Torah, or eating cake? And on the second hand, the blood represents what you really put your effort on. Making more money or learning Torah? This was actually burned on the altar. What does that mean? The idea of offering a sacrifice means take out the pleasure and the livelihood, the strength, the enthusiasm, etc., of the person and elevate it into holiness. Make your tainug, your pleasure, holy tainug. Make your strength, your enthusiasm, holy enthusiasm. Similar to what it's written, that all the fats and the best should be offered to God. This is the idea of, in general, all sacrifices on the altar, in order that there should be a satisfaction, reach nichoyach, a pleasurable smell to God, a satisfaction to God, nachas ruach. And because in general, the main thing and in general the world starts with the human race, the human being, mina medaber, the ones that talk, nimtza, comes out, shal yedei akravat shivim parim, shem kenegeta shivim mumos nase biru klolus ha'olam, shem nase dira lo yisbarach. Through, comes out, through the offering of 70 bulls that represent the 70 nations, there's a refinement of the world in general. It's not talking about stones and cats and dogs. It's talking about people. What does that mean? That the world becomes a dwelling place for God. Because again, every single human being is thinking, where is my pleasure applied? Where is my enthusiasm applied? It should apply it to God. So the God becomes a conscious, a normal thing in everywhere, everybody. So therefore, the world becomes a dwelling place for God. Everybody's conscious about God. That's this first paragraph, so to speak, explains why is it that there's a refinement of the 70 nations, and that refinement was done through the sacrifices. Because the sacrifices have a spiritual meaning today. What is the spiritual meaning? Focus your life into God. That's the mean. That's the idea. Focus your life into God. Okay. Omnam, however, כדי שבני ישראל יהיו יכולים לפעול בירור השבעים מומס וכללוס העולם, in order for the Jewish people, that they were the ones bringing the offerings, they should actually generate this refinement in the 70 nations, and in the world in general. צריכים הם בעצמם להיות מבוררים בתכלית. They have to be themselves really refined, completely refined. Like, I can't refine something if I'm not refined myself. I can tell you, don't talk, whatever, Lashon Hara. If I continuously talk Lashon Hara, what do you say? It doesn't make sense. Vezeu, that's why, שהקרב עשה 70 פעמים בחג הסוכו, יסי לאחר יבוא ידע שוב עד היום הכיפורים. That's why, according to the first explanation, the Rebbe brought, the offering of the 70 bulls in Sukkos was precisely after all the work of tshuva, of repentance, of going back to God, whatever, in Yom Kippur, in the Day of Atonement. Sheba le'achar iklolus avodat aseres mitshuva. Yeah, let's not forget that Yom Kippur also comes after something else, after the whole work of the 10 days of tshuva. Ve'lifnei sein, before that, gam avodat chodesh Elul, also the whole work of the month of Elul, etc. Okay. It's between parentheses because it's not the main thing of the Maimer. The truth is that there's a whole levels, whole system of levels. One comes after the other. Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos. She'az na'aseh ha'inyan v'salachti k'dvarecha. What happens in Yom Kippur really becomes real, this whole idea of God forgiving, as Moshe Rabbeinu asked. V'Yisrael na'asim tehoirim u'nekim mikol sikup soides, and the Jewish people become pure and clean of all kinds of invalid things, of kinds of sins, etc., etc. V'davka as, and just then, after Yom Kippur, yecholim hem lifol abirur v'shivim mumos u'klal sa'olam, le'aleis ha'matach l'sa'ilu. We can actually accomplish the refinement of the 70 nations and the world in general and elevate this to the most high elevation possible. וזהו גם כי מסדר, שסדר הקרב עשה 70 פערים, ובאופן שיום ראשון מקריבים י"ג פערים. This is why also, in the order of the 70 sacrifices throughout the 7 days of Sukkos, the first day we offered 13 bulls, the second day 12, and so on, to the last day 7, but Over here, we're focusing on the first day, 13 bulls. Why? Why do we start with 13? Like, you could have started with 12, and then the last day put one more, 8, whatever, different orders. Why start with 13? Because the number 13 talks about, indicates, whatever, the 13 attributes of mercy, that they never go back empty, like always they have a good influence in the world when they get revealed. They represent the same level called, in other places, strong kindness of God, Rav Ches, lots of kindness of God. What does that mean? A lot of chesed, a lot of kindness, of strong kindness. That's a kind of kindness that is completely beyond any measurement and any limit. What does that mean? That means that the projection from above, when this level gets revealed, the 13 attributes of mercy, etc., that generates a projection that is not according to the work of the person. What does that mean? The idea is like this. The objective, like the highest level, is that the person should not serve God only with all the heart, all the soul, rather, with all yourself. The idea of me'oidecha, like all your might or something like that, is something that is going beyond any measurement, any limitations. And that's also that after the work that a person did, that all the work that a person can do according to his capacities, etc., etc., is in a way of, and this is the classical language of the Zohar, Hasidus, etc., is Sarusa Letatoe, there's an awakening from below, and that generates an awakening from above. Kamayim Apanim Apanim, the Rebbe brings a verse to prove this idea. It's like not a Kabbalah idea, it's a regular Jewish idea. Like the water reflects the face, like a mirror. In the same way, you do one work, and God answers, so to speak, according to the work that you did. Azai, then, poyanim sheyumshach milemaila, shelo lefi yerech avitzah. Once you finish everything you could do, you're complete, so to speak, in your work, and your work, so to speak, this awakening from below, generating a response from above, then you project from above a level that is not according to your work. Beyond measurement and limits. A very simple example to explain this sounds complicated, but it's not. It's like you have a reward and you have a present. It's two different ideas. A reward you give according to the work. You worked so many hours. Each hour I pay you this much, and this is what you got. The amount of hours times the amount per hour. That's a reward. And you know what? I worked and I deserve it. You promised, I was going to give you this much for this work, and you give it. That's reward. But a present is way beyond. You were not expecting a present. Somebody gave you a present. Oh, thank you. It's not because you did something. It's a present. It comes from above, so to speak. Beyond measurement. That's what the Rebbe is saying over here. So there's a catch to this idea. Why did you get the present? Like, you don't give presents to anyone. Like, you're walking in the street and you see somebody, I'm going to give you a present, $1 million. Why? Like, I don't know. It's kind of crazy. You don't do that. You give presents to people you think they somehow deserve the present. Or you have some kind of relationship with this person, so you give a present. How do you see this in the system? The system is, an awakening from above generates an awakening from below. An awakening from below generates an awakening from above. I'm sorry, I said the other way. So you do your work, and you're going to get your reward. But the catch of the system is, when you're complete shleimus, when you're complete in your work as much as you can do down here, that's when you're ready for a present of God. Whether God is going to give you the present or not, that depends on him. That doesn't depend on us. We cannot force, so to speak, a present. But what you can do is to be complete in what you have to do. As long as you're not complete in your efforts to serve God, you're only going to receive rewards. According to your work, you're going to receive your reward. A lot or less, I don't know. That's God's problem and your work, your problem, so to speak. How much do you want to invest, really, of your efforts into working? Okay, that's your problem. You decide. You have Bechira Chofshis, you have free will. But when you're complete, really, really complete on what you have to do, then you're ready for a present. And that's what the Rebbe is saying over here. Yeah, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshcha, in the Shema, this is classical in Shema. You love God with all your heart, with all your soul. What does that mean? Levavcha means your heart. Nafshcha means your soul. What do you mean? Yeah, according to what my heart dictates or whatever, or what I can do, I serve God. According to my soul, I serve God. But it's not my whole might. Me'oidecha means really everything that you have. Oh, why does it say then me'oidecho? It's all your might. Yes, because I'm completing what I can do. Maybe my work to God, it's nothing compared to somebody else's work to God. But I don't care. This is my me'oid. This is really all I can do. Behemes, really what I can do. So that's complete. I can't compare myself to somebody else. I have to compare myself to myself, so to speak. This is what it means, the 13 attributes of mercy that are way beyond any measurement and any limit. That's why from this level that gets revealed in Yom Kippur and before Yom Kippur also, etc., in Elul, whatever. That's why it gets projected from them, from this level of 13 attributes of mercy, the strength to do tshuva, to repent. As it's written in Parshas Kisisa, Vayavar Hashem al panav vayikra avaye avaye. That's why it's written that God went in front of the face of Moshe and God called his own name, Hashem, Hashem, and twice. Why is it written twice? The Talmud says, Achas kodim sheyechta, ve'achas le'achas sheyechta. One of the names of God is before a person sins, he's your God and he loves you, etc., etc. And even after the person sins, he still is your God and he loves you. Yeah, I know. In other words, without paying attention to all the things that happen throughout the year, you go do tshuva, you go do your work, you repent, and God is going to atone for you. Like the sages say, doesn't even want to mention the whole thing. It's a long teaching of the rabbis. I don't remember the whole teaching right now, but basically, somebody, whatever, asked the Torah, if a person transgresses, what should he do? And the Torah says, should die. Forget it, you're out of the system. You transgress, you die. Again, I don't remember the whole thing, but they asked God, you continue, God said, no, nah, what do you mean dying? He should do tshuva. And then I'm going to atone for him. So even the worst thing that a person could have done, it doesn't matter. Comes this level of Yom Kippur, of these 13 attributes of mercy, if you do your work of tshuva, if you don't do anything, it doesn't work. It's just a whole argument also in the Talmud, whether Yom Kippur works, if a person doesn't do tshuva, he does do tshuva, it's a whole thing, doesn't matter now. But the point is that God said, go do tshuva, and I'll take care of it. I know, that means, she'inyan tshuva u'mitzad b'chines HaKadosh Baruch Hu lemayle matoira. You see, tshuva is something beyond Torah that comes from God directly. B'chines HaChochma deKedusha, that means the wisdom of sanctity. That means the shoyrish of Torah, whatever. Ve'ad she'al yedei ha'tshuva na'aseh merutza b'chavik b'kodim ha'chet. To the point that through repentance, a person is loved, so to speak, by God, just as before the sin. There's no problem in the relationship. Yisera mize. Moreover, she's doinos nasu lugezachis. The Talmud says, even the sins that a person did on purpose, knowing that it was sinning, etc., etc., they, after tshuva, become actually merits for him. Shalach, because the Rebbe doesn't explain here, it's just quoting Talmud here, Talmud there, all kinds of midrashim. But the point is, the very short explanation of this idea is like this. It's an idea in the Talmud. When a person recognizes how far he is from God, because of the sins themselves become like a trampoline to go closer to God. Because you realize how far you are from God. That's why our sages say the place where those who repent, stand, even the greatest righteous cannot stand over there. That's also a teaching of the Talmud, whatever. After this is the first explanation of the verse. After this, imagine all kinds of tshuva, all kinds of work, all kinds of time in revelations from God, atonement from God. Wow, we are in a very high level. The Jews are very, very high level. Now they can go work with the non-Jews through offering 17 bulls in Sukkos. Starting from the first day, what do you offer in the first day? 13 bulls. Why? Because you're actually like saying, because we have these 13 levels of attributes of mercy, whatever, now we can go and project that to the non-Jews. We can go work with them. This is the first explanation, actually, of praise nations, praise God, all the nations, etc. Because God was good with us. Because God gave us a tremendous kindness. It's exactly what was explained in the previous paragraph. This revelation of the great kindness of God, the 13 attributes of mercy that are beyond measurement, limits, etc. Through this revelation becomes the purification of the Jewish people in Yom Kippur. Then has the Jewish people have the power to actually go and refine the 70 nations. Hainu, that means, we have to refine the sparks of holiness that it's found in them, in the non-Jews. This is the language of the Rambam. Because all the existences don't exist except from his true existence, everything that exists comes from God, even the non-Jews, that's what the Rebbe is saying, are moving. You can understand that they also have a spark of holiness. Don't come to me and say, non-Jews are animals. What are you talking about? God is creating everything. They also have a spark of holiness. When you refine, and when they get refined, these sparks of holiness that are found between the 70 nations, as I poyalim and it searches a mevudarim, be a shivi mumois, then those refined sparks affect the 70 nations in a way that also by them there's this thing of praise God, all the nations, and praise all the whatever nations, etc. That's in general. So by us refining or finding this spark of holiness, that generates on them, on the non-Jews, praise. Praise to God. Okay. Let's understand this a little bit more in detail. There are two ways of refinement. Two types of refinement. That exactly because there are two ways of refinement, two types, that's why the verse talks about two types of nations. On one hand, it's called goyim, nations, and though they, hallelu, they praise. And the second part of the verse, we call them leumim, umim, whatever, which also means nations, but they shabchu, they meshabeyach, they also praise. Like, I don't have a different word, but the truth is that in Hebrew it's two different words. Why? If you look at the Mefarshim, the commentaries on the Tehillim, they're going to tell you it's just poetic, you know, sounds nice, two words for the same thing, nice, continue reading. But the Rebbe is saying there's something deep over here. What's the thing that over here? The idea is like this. There's a type of refinement that the good part gets refined from the bad part and it gets elevated up, so to speak. However, the bad part that is really bad, that cannot be refined, it gets completely consumed, lost, out. That's why it's written, that's why the verse says in Psalms, if it wouldn't be for God that was for us, when people came upon us, so to speak, they stood up against us. Who is this people? Kum aleinu Adam. Who's this man that stood against us? Adam Belial. The Shalit Ba'anam Dekedusha. It talks about a bad man that governs over the holy man, so to speak. Kumo shekosu, as it's written, Eis asher sholata Adam Ba'adam L'raloi. There's a time that there's a overpowering, so to speak, of one man over another man for his detriment, for bad, for this other man. He's doing really harm to you. In other words, the whole intention of why this man, so to speak, quote unquote, stands against another man, quote unquote, is because you have to refine it. You have to take out the good part of it, something that is really good, and it should only remain the bad part on them, and that's it. Mimeila ya'avet chulei. Automatically, it's going to get lost. That's it. That's one level of refinement. The Rebbe doesn't bring examples, and I don't have examples either. But the idea is, it doesn't sound nice, but this is what he's talking about. Even if it's not nice. Take out the good from them, from the non-Jews, and the bad part is going to get lost by itself. Forget it. It's going to, so to speak, die, consumed, whatever the case is. Ah, yesh birur be'oifen shegam bechinas hara oile lemaila. There's another type of refinement that even the bad part also gets elevated, also gets refined. Ela she'einu oile liyeis bechinas penimis hakedusha. However, it doesn't really go up into the innermost part, innermost side, so to speak, of holiness. Ela bechinas hitzoinyos ve'achorayim dekedusha bilvad. Rather, only in the outer part and the back, so to speak, of holiness only. Just as it's written that in the future to come, strange people, non-Jews, are going to stand up and they're going to take care of our sheep and whatever, all the things that we need to have, etc., etc. Shehem bevechinas tafel Israel. That means that they will be secondary to the Jewish people. Let them go to work and the Jewish people sit and learn Torah, something like that. The Rambam says this clearly at the end of Mishneh Torah. Okay, so we have here two types of refinement. Refinement number one is take the good out of them and the bad part is going to get consumed by itself. Or elevate even the bad part so they also participate in Kedusha, in sanctity. And the Rebbe made the difference between Pnimius and Chitzonius, the innermost part, the exterior part, etc. Keneged beisefane birur anal nemru vakosev beisanyanim de halel zashem kol goyim shabechu kol umim. And in parallel, so to speak, corresponding to these two types of refinement, that's why the verse says two names for the non-Jews and two names for praising. Halelu zashem kol goyim, the first part that should praise Hashem, all the nations, in this case called goyim. Hallelu miloshem behilu neiru. The word hallelu comes from the word, it is a very difficult verse in Eoif. Baalu neiru means that just when you light a candle, all the light, like projects itself into that. Everybody wants to get closer to the light. In the same way, in this case, it means all the sparks of goodness in the non-Jews goes closer to the light, and the bad part gets lost. Forget it. Shewinyan ha'oir v'agilui, this represents light and revelation. U'kemo shubinyan ha'halel kipshutei, shamidasu yal neis goloi dafke. Just as it says, this is in brackets, because it's a very side thing regarding halacha, laws, nothing to do with the maimar, that's why it's inside brackets. Just as it is the mitzvah, the rabbinical mitzvah, commandment of saying halel, which is a number of tehillim, psalms that we actually say in Sukkot, etc. Literally, we only say it when you have a revealed miracle, like going out of Egypt and these things. Brackets closed, it's a different thing, doesn't matter right now. This thing of Hallel, light and revelation, this indicates that there's a refinement and elevation just of the good part, like the light part of it. And that's what it's written, that another word in English is the same thing, okay, because I don't know another word, they praise all the nations, but in this case called umim, this is also talking about the bad part of them, that it also gets refined and it also gets elevated into the exterior part, the outer part, whatever, of Kedusha, of sanctity. That's why the verse over here says another word for praise, shevach, shavchu. That's connected to another verse, I think it's in Mishle or something like that, Proverbs, that it says a wise person, chacham, be'achor yeshavchena, can find praise even in the back part. If you're really wise, you can see something and praise every single part of it. But he is connecting over here the idea of shvach, of praising, with chokhmah, with wisdom, and with achor, that there's some kind of back wisdom. Shewinyan tikun chitzoni bilvat. This is talking about somehow of tikun means like repair or something like that, repairing something, but just in an outer way, in an exterior way, and not in a pnimiusdik way, not in a most inner way. All of this is explaining the explanation of the first explanation of the verse, that first of all comes the Jewish people offering and refining the non-Jews, and that generates the praise of the Jews, of the non-Jews, I'm sorry, the praise of the non-Jews. Then the Rebbe is going to talk about the second explanation, of course, but this is the first explanation.